On this week's episode of Loose Cannons, it's time to get sexy again, probably for the 100th time, but we're finally watching The Last American Virgin. Hello, my name's Justin the Clue, and I'm here today with
Matthew Kumar, as always.
And you're listening to Loose Cannons, the show where we chronologically go through the filmography of canon films.
Yep, that is the true thing that we're doing. Now, you said get sexy for like the 100th time, like getting sexy is tiresome. No one says to themselves, ugh, guess I gotta have sex again.
Well, what about all these movies that we watch, Matthew? Is there no tiredness that's come over you from having to watch The Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood 3 times? Or I guess it's just multiple Happy Hooker films.
I think the real sort of thought is not whether I'm tired of, like, sexiness. It's whether or not any of these movies have actually been sexy. And until this point, the answer is, in almost all cases, been no.
But when you watched Last American Virgin, you popped stiffy, right?
No, The Last American Virgin is just, what is this movie? Is it a coming-of-age drama? Is it a comedy?
Well, what I can tell you is that it's a remake of the Lemon Popsicle film, which Golden Globus produced back in their native Israel. It was directed by the same director, Boaz Davidson. It was made in 78, and Last American Virgin was made in 82. And this one, wait, is something going on your side of things, Matthew? I heard a weird sound.
Yeah, my phone just gave an Amber Alert.
Does that mean you did something wrong? Like you captured a child? Or
no, it's to let me know that I have to now go out with a pitchfork and find a child. Well, not find any child.
Like find, oh my God.
Find someone who has captured a child. But I clicked the button very fast because it beeped.
So for people that haven't noticed yet, me and Matthew are not in the same room. That steamy chemistry isn't there like it usually is, but we're going to do our best.
Yeah, we're going to do our best.
I mean, we're both full nude, like we always are.
Like we always are, yep.
But, you know, I'm just going to have to imagine Matthew glistening and, you know, probably doing weights.
Yeah.
Because you can do something else while you don't have to be in the same room with me.
It's true. I actually am pumping some pretty heavy iron right now, so...
Like Arnold, you're like, yes. I'm coming all the time.
Well, doing the Loose Cannons podcast for me, you, and our listeners is pretty much like coming all the time.
So, Last American Virgin was the attempt for Canon Films to recreate that Lemon Popsicle magic, which had an astounding 7 sequels and 1 reboot.
It was a huge hit in Israel, right?
Yeah, massive.
And it's interesting because the actual Israeli title is Eskimo Limon. So I guess in Israel, if you're wanting a popsicle, you call it an Eskimo, which seems, you know, kind of racist.
Well, I was doing some research about the original Lemon Popsicle film, and it turns out The Last American Virgin is almost a kind of shot-for-shot remake, except they lost a little bit of the racial dimension, where poor people who can speak poor Hebrew is used for laughs.
Is it? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is.
So... pretty racist all around then. But we neither of us have seen this, the original, right?
I had seen it a long time ago, but I didn't remember much except for its famous ending.
Okay, yeah. So it is, as you say, it's basically exactly the same as the original. So overall, I didn't think it was necessarily that important to watch the original.
No.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah.
You're going to hit us with some plot details now, Matthew?
Yeah, let's go
get
into
it. Get us immersed in the world of these horny teens.
I think the reason I asked the question about what this movie is because it is very confusing when you watch it. You're never quite sure how serious it is or how... like, at the beginning, it feels completely ridiculous, but then kind of in the middle, it kind of hits the brakes and turns into kind of a different movie.
No, yeah, I completely understand what you mean. Because, like, it starts with an almost 15-minute sequence of these... horny boys, there's 3 of them. I don't remember what their name is.
Yeah,
there's Fatty. Whiny lead.
There's Fatty. There's a blonde good-looking guy who isn't actually very good-looking.
Jocko.
Yeah, Fatty, Jocko, and then there's, I don't know, a pizza boy, I suppose?
Yeah, who works for a pizza company called Pink Pizza, whose logo is a very effeminate Italian man holding a pie.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what Pink Pizza... I was like, is that like a euphemism or what?
For vagina.
Yeah, I don't think that's a very good euphemism, though.
Especially, like, the logo is, like, there's a big statue on the kid's car. It's the guy holding the pizza with, like, one leg back, like, ho-ho!
Yeah, I kept expecting that thing to, like, fall off or get hit by something, but it never did in the movie.
All right, so it starts off with this first sequence, which the trio of boys do what a lot of people their age has done. Pick up three randos in a restaurant, bring them home, and get them naked.
Nope, it's not just that you don't just pick up three randos. It's that, so they pick up one girl who looks sort of like she's very inspired by Grease. One girl whose whole style, I don't really know what it is. Kind of a flowing kind of Spanish dress she had on. And then, of course, we get the dumpy girl with glasses and sort of basically like a 80s kind of mod look with like the thick skinny tie and the shirt and all that on. But the main thing is that these girls, they're like, okay, we'll consider going home with you, but do you have drugs? It seems to be all they're interested in. They're like, they really, really want to get cocaine. And then the boys are like, sure, yeah, we can get cocaine. But then the funny thing is that the girls go, oh, but we have to go home by 12. So they're obsessed with getting cocaine, but they're still really careful at curfews.
Well, weren't you obsessed with cocaine when you were a kid, Matthew?
I'm obsessed
when
with you cocaine went to parties? Now. I have
Matthew's manic personality is all related to sniffing that white stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing lines as we speak, you know? I'm also working out,
pumping iron, doing lines.
I'm basically doing the 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger special, I assume.
So this scene is kind of baffling to me because it's not something that I would have ever done at this time in my life. Like, this movie is all about sex. There's not really one scene that's not about that. So if this film does anything is that it's very pure.
Yeah, it's almost all about sex, and there's almost like no characterization or anything else to it. It's just, we know that our characters want to have sex, and our main guy doesn't have sex. I think he doesn't have sex in the movie at all, right?
Well, it's implied, like, he meets a prostitute, and I was very confused, and I'm like, wait, did he have sex with her? Did he not have sex with her?
I think it's implied that he puts it in her, and is like, ugh, I'm not into this. Pulls it out. And then that question we have to ask, is that sex?
Yes, that is sex.
That's sex? You think you don't require climaxing for it to be sex?
Well, I thought that he did climax. The implication was that he just climaxed very quickly.
Oh, really? I thought he just sort of pulled it out and was like, no, I'm not into this.
So the thing about this film as well is that it doesn't really have a consecutive plot in any way, shape, or form. It's just very episodic. A bunch of stuff happens until it climaxes with an event involving this girl, played by Diane Franklin, that the pizza boy just idolizes throughout the entire film. And like most high school boys, he knows nothing about her.
Yeah, he never even learns anything about her.
Nope.
I mean, we don't know anything about her. She doesn't show any interests or do anything at all.
No, she is just an object of affection.
Yeah. So let's sort of get rewind back to where we were. So the initial sequence is them with those three girls. The other two guys, Fatty and
Jocko.
Fatty and Jocko manage to get the other girls dancing.
Do we have to have a discussion again about you calling characters Fatty, Matthew?
Hey, if it's good enough for Sammo Hung, it's good enough for me.
All right, yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, so Fatty and Jocko.
Fatty and Jocko, get these girls dancing.
And then our other character, Pizza Boy, he's with the dumpier girl, and he's like, so do you want to dance? She's like, I don't care. She's like, do you like the song? I don't care. And then she's like, what do you care about? And she's like, cocaine. Where's the cocaine? Where's the fucking cocaine? I need cocaine. So they go into the kitchen, and what they decide to do is just give them sweet and low in little lines, I guess. Obviously, all the girls never had cocaine, so they sniff it. But have you ever tried to sniff sugar? I never have, but I assume that it's incredibly painful to do that.
It has to be. I've seen videos of people doing flour, and it's gotten so bad that they have to go to the hospital because they just did too much. Like, stuff going up your sinuses, it's not supposed to work that way. Like, I mean, if you ever stuck your finger too high up in your nose, it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. And then it makes you all itchy and sneezy and stuff. That's why that joke in. Is it, which Woody Allen movie is it where he, like, takes the cocaine and he sneezes in it?
Oh, probably something like Annie Hall or something
Annie Hall,
that.
I think. Yeah. I mean, it just wouldn't work. But the girls are fooled, so two of them go off.
They're like, oh, this is the best cocaine we've ever had.
The Grease-styled one has sex with Jocko, and then the one in the Spanish kind of dress, she doesn't really want to have sex with Fatty, but she convinces him that what she'll do is, if he goes out onto the patio and counts to 100, shooting all her clothes off and going to bed.
I was confused because I was like, wait, is she not going to sleep with Sim? Is she going to find an excuse to leave or something like that?
We never...
No, she gets naked and she was ready to have sex with Sim.
Yeah.
Until some crazy complications come
which
into play.
Which is, of course, Pizza Boy's parents come back. They walk into the room, at which point Pizza Boy has been, despite no interest from the dumpier girl, been basically stripping her slowly while she eats chips, including kind of this sort of like sad sequence where he's basically like giving her a sleeper hold to try to get her bra off, and you can see all the nacho chips all like kind of on her chest. It's really kind of a bummer. The parents come home.
Which is like a lot of this movie, kind of a bummer.
Yeah. The parents come home. The mother is like a terrible kind of like Jewish mother stereotype, and she starts to go into hysterics. They all run out of the house, and the mother goes to bed, and she's like, oh, get me, I don't know, aspirin or a Valium or something. And then Fatty comes back in, all ready to do the business, and starts feeling her up. And then more complications ensue. This should be hilarious, but I guess it's sort of mildly funny, maybe.
I found that it was more kind of awkward, almost like a British Office kind of thing.
Yes. But the characters are...
Where there's not really any jokes. It's the situation is just uncomfortable, which I don't know if that's on purpose or just the result of the way they executed
it. Yeah, I'm just not sure whether the characters all seem like they're having a great old time, like we're supposed to be having a great time, but you're just kind of like, what is even going on?
What would your parents do if they would catch you at your house with a bunch of naked women when you were like 17?
They'd be like, why are you at our house? You live like 30 miles away, first of all.
Wait, when you were 17, you didn't live with your parents?
Yeah, I was at university when I was 17.
Oh, okay. Well, before university then.
Well, okay, let's say I'm like 16 or something. They'd be like, why are you
Yeah, all right. I'm sorry that you took it so literally.
Well, again, they'd be like, why are you
You're like,
our
I just
house?
Like to get my rocks you off live, in my parents'
you
house.
Go,
all right.
You go to a high school like 15 miles away, other houses would be more useful to go to. So they'd just be very confused probably to begin with. Sorry, I took it too literally. What about you, Justin? Maybe you can be less literal.
What would my mother say? She would probably faint and die.
Okay, just like the mother in this?
Well, she doesn't die. Wow, what a plot twist that would be.
Yeah, then Fatty just has sex with her anyway.
And like the credits roll on like him just humping her body. Yeah. Oh, we should point out here that this movie has like the best soundtrack of the 80s.
Yeah, the soundtrack is like, there are some stinkers in there that feel very like canon kind of...
Are you calling the police stinkers, Matthew?
No, I mean like kind of the opening song, and then there's this weird song about...
Why won't you love me?
Yeah, it's not very good, but then it has all kinds of... It's got Devo in it. It's got Blondie. It's got The Waitresses. It's got a really weird song, which is called Here Come the Sex Girls. Are you Speedwagon? Did I mention them already? I don't think I did.
No, you didn't. Yeah, so like, this is almost a musical, how wall-to-wall all the music is, which almost feels like a reaction to the film being completed and then being like, all right, we need to put some music here. Let people know how to feel.
Yeah, it's weird because it's 1982, so I guess I assume at the time all of this music, because it has like U2 and all that, wasn't insanely expensive. So Canon just like stocked with music thinking that you would get the kids in to see it by being like, hey, it's about sex and there's all those bands that you like, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what gets kids excited, just like all the weird, awkward breasts that are shown in this movie. Because, like, there's almost nothing sexy in this film.
Well, I've got to say, speaking of excited kids, we get to what I consider to be the most confusing sequence of the whole movie, because I can't imagine a single boys' locker room where this would fly. I mean, maybe it's different in America or Israel, I'm not sure. One boy is peeping on the girls.
Which, you know, in classic high school architecture, there's a thin wall between the girls' locker room and the boys' locker room.
Yeah, with a perfect little hole that you can see them. We don't get to see a lot of that, though. What we instead see is all the boys mock him for peeping, rather, which is confusing because later on our main characters also do peeping. And in fact, there's a lot of peeping in this movie, to be honest. But all the boys...
It's a real Porky's.
Yeah, all the boys mock him for it. And then he's like... They're like, oh, your penis is really small. And he's like, no, my penis is gigantic. And all the boys go, well, let's put all money into a pot and measure our penises.
Doesn't that happen? Like, that's a real, like, 10th grade kind of thing to happen. The old penis measuring.
Is that a thing that happens? Because I can't believe it. Because literally, Fatty and Pizza Boy sit there with a ruler and just have the boys walk up. We get to see the boys' asses, whip their wangers out. They have got hard. So they've all been in there, rubbing themselves to the appropriate level of hardness, and then had Pizza Boy literally hold their cock and measure it.
I was very confused that I saw... That, like, they were measuring them flaccid?
No, they are not.
Because it was, like, 9.5 inches flaccid.
Yeah, it's like a big fucking floppy pencil.
Monster cock.
Yeah. But, I mean, no, they get themselves hard and they measure it and Pizza Boy holds it. So Pizza Boy, at this point in the movie, has held every single boy in the school's penis.
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, it's North America. I know that we don't have your kind of...
Puritan,
you know,
Protestant upbringing.
Yeah, tiptoeing around sexuality and stuff like that. The boys in locker rooms here would just grab each other's dicks and just, you know, a little squeeze here and
there. Do you have something you need to tell me, Justin?
No, well, I mean, I didn't think anybody was going to hit my dick with a frozen spoon. So
nice loose cannons callback from one episode that I can't remember.
After these locker room shenanigans,
which are meaningless,
you know, nerdy,
but it does point out
nerdo.
That the one nerd guy has a really big penis that's not really doesn't really mean anything in the scale of the movie. It's just one of these episodic moments.
9.5 inches.
Yeah.
How many centimeters is that?
I don't know. Did people in Canada measure their penis by centimeters?
Of course we did. We don't use inches in Canada. Come on.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, in the UK, you sort of sometimes use metric and sometimes you use imperial, all right? So yeah. I'm used to using miles, although I'm more used to using, since I'm driven in Canada, I'm more used to using kilometers now. I was used to using miles back in the day. And for certain things like height and, I guess, penis length, I've always thought of them in inches and feet. Whereas you've always thought to yourself of your penis, its length in centimeters.
Of course.
Interesting.
I mean, listen, we live in Canada,
yeah,
not the United States.
Yeah, so I literally, if we were to compare our penises, we'd be confused because I'd do mine in inches and you would do yours in centimeters.
So yours would appear much smaller to my eyes.
Yes, I guess so.
When you would give me the inches.
Yes, but maybe not. You said 9.5 inches seemed really big to you.
I'm sorry, Matthew Monstercock Kumar.
That's what they call me. I mean, obviously all the steroids I take and the cocaine have affected that slightly, but, you know.
So where does the movie go from here? I don't even remember.
Basically what he does is he manufactures a situation. He's seen that girl, Diane Franklin. He really wants to have sex with her or be in a relationship with her. He falls in love with her up for sight or whatever, let's say. And he manufactures a way to meet her by letting the air out of her motorbike's tire and then driving by casually so he can drive her to school. And while he's driving her there, he's like super awkward. And he's like, hey, do you want some pizza? And she's like, look, it's like 8:30 a.m. Why would I want pizza now? And he's like, well, what about a big meatball sandwich? Which he does a callback later on and is never funny and just seems really awkward and embarrassing. But not like in a, you know, you said kind of like The Office or something, but that's awkward and embarrassing in a enjoyable way. In this movie, it's kind of awkward and embarrassing in a way that just makes you feel uncomfortable.
But isn't that what being a teenager means, Matthew? Just not being funny?
No, I was hilarious. And I had a huge penis, so it was
I don't believe that for a second.
He drives to school and he's like, do you have a boyfriend? And she's like, no. And he's like, do you want to go out tonight? She's like, no, I've got something else to do. He's like, oh, that's a shame because I've got a really good party you could go to. And then he gets to the party and he discovers that Jocko is already dancing with her and smooching her. So obviously he does like what everyone in these movies does is he immediately starts drinking heavily, but that doesn't really come to anything, right?
He drinks heavily and then he shows up at his home where his parents are throwing a party.
Uh-huh.
And then he makes a fool of himself and makes advances on one of his mother's friends. And she's like, oh my.
It's just, again, you're supposed to be like, wow, that's funny or wild or check out those squares, I guess. But you're just like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, but REO Speedwagon's playing in the background.
Is it still at that point?
I don't know.
It happened. I think it played before that, didn't it?
I wasn't keeping track of what song was playing where.
I saw it was.
But all I remember is that eventually they end up meeting a sexy person from Cuba that they deliver pizzas to.
Okay.
And they all decide to run a train on it.
This I found very confusing as well. Again, my Protestant, Puritan upbringing gives me an impression of how things would go down completely differently than, I guess, these wild Americans. But he goes around the house, She's basically like, oh, I got pizza, but really I'm just trying to get a guy around to have sex with me. He runs off.
Which I assume happened all the time in the early 80s.
Yeah, he runs off. I mean, according to porno.
Yeah. It originally, the series took place in the 50s when it was in the Lemon Popsicle films.
Oh, really?
And they decided, eh, that's too expensive. Let's just make it take place during the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it still works. So, but when he leaves, he immediately goes and gets his friends, and he's like, hey, this girl is hot to trot. Let's all have sex with her. And honestly, what it's like, are they going to do her at the same time? I wasn't even... I was like, is that how good friends they are?
Didn't that happen with your friends in high school, Matthew?
They would find a random lady and then want to have like a foursome with her?
Yeah.
No.
After you've done measuring your dicks in inches.
Yeah, in inches.
You would go to some lady that you just met while delivering pizza and you'd be like, well, I'm going to have sex with you now.
No, but I need my friends to come and have sex with you also.
You know, they're your support. I'd be there giving you like thumbs up and fist bumps and stuff like that.
No, I think, honestly, I mean, this movie did make me...
Can you imagine that happening with your high school friends? Like, that is something that would always come up, wouldn't it? Remember that time that we had sex with someone I delivered pizza to?
Yeah, one after another.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they're such good friends, are so gross that when Jocko's having sex with her, both Fatty and Pizza Boy are like trying to see it happen. They're trying to watch it. They're like...
What does it look like?
Keeping on it happening. And then you see Fatty have sex with her as well. And then it's sort of like, it's kind of like a big, pasty, beached whale flopping about.
And then, oh no, the woman's husband, boyfriend comes to
the
door.
I think it was just some sailor she was also shagging shows up.
And then, they run away again and get into their car. Now, this movie is like an alien experience to me. None of these characters make sense, or everyone in high school is obsessed with sex. But to this point?
Yeah, exactly. Because they're always like, you know, they're peeping on their friends having sex. They're like...
Measuring
dicks. Measuring penises. They're like... I mean, I'm going to skip forward a little bit. But it comes to these games where our characters are so desperate to have sex. In fact, probably, I think... And the characters have... Two of these boys have already had sex, right? That they visit the most threatening prostitute I think I've seen in any of the canon films, at least.
Who, for $30, you can have sex with her. And you're going to lay down... In a post-apocalyptic looking warehouse.
Yeah, on a couch that is, like, disgusting looking. And she's wearing, like, one of those, like, stereotypical, like, prostitute red PVC dresses. Like, smoking. She just comes in, whips her pants off, and she's like, all right, boys, geez it. Come on, stick it in me.
Wait. Geez it?
Yeah, geez it.
What does that mean?
Give us it?
Geez it?
Yeah, geez it.
You know, so you've used that in, like, day-to-day where you're like, all right, geez it, geez me that meat in my mouth.
No, obviously I haven't. I mean, but I would use it to be like, you know, let's say that you have my pencil or something, right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, huh, geez my pencil.
I've never heard you say that in your life.
Well, I've just been in Scotland, right? So maybe I'm using...
It's coming back. It's like a flu, like you can't control it.
And also, she's like... She get very bad reviews, let's say.
On Yelp?
Yeah, on Yelp.
Well, I'm sure there's a website somewhere for prostitute reviews.
Because
sorry, they're not called prostitutes, they're called escorts.
As soon as they pay her, she's like, come on, we've not got all time. Got all the time. Get it in me as fast as possible.
Why is she like from the era of Jack the Ripper when you're... Dude.
Yeah, that's... I mean, mate...
Oi, boys! Geese into my hole!
Geese into my hole. That's very ungrammatical, Justin. Get it right up my hole, maybe. That's what she would say.
Up my hole.
Get it right up my hole as quick as possible. We're on the clock here, lads.
So at this point in the movie, I'm like, man, these guys have had a lot of unprotected sex.
Yes.
I wonder if the consequences will ever catch up with them. Whoop.
Yep. So first of all, they all get crabs from that prostitute, which is, you know, very offensive to, escorts, sex workers.
Which I should be legalized.
Yes, I'm sure. Did you have this discussion in the previous podcast?
I think we did. We talked about so many films that feature prostitutes.
Yes. So it is very offensive to sex workers who, in general, I'm sure, are very clean. And obviously women shouldn't have to walk the streets. And this woman was in a bad situation and it's being played for comedy. So we obviously are disgusted here at Loose Cannon's Towers.
She was the one that was in control in this situation as well.
Yes. She gives them crabs. They attempt to kill them by going in a swimming pool.
Which I notice is actually the cover... of like the poster in VHS is them in the swimming pool. They're looking at a woman in a bikini. But now that you know, they're actually trying to get rid of their crabs.
It doesn't work, right? You can't drown crabs.
No, it doesn't work.
So they then do some other stuff, I guess.
They go to a pharmacist and they don't want to explain to him that they have crabs.
And then the pharmacist just laughs at them and I guess gives them stuff to get rid of their crabs, right?
Yeah, because it's never brought up again.
So then we kind of, we've missed the part where they steal the guy with the 9-inch penis's car and drive it into the sea, which isn't even that funny.
No, I just thought they were going to die. Like, the way that it's set up, they're all making out in the car, and then the brakes go out, and the car just swoops what looks like to the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, but it just rolls into the sea, and then they get out and dance and laugh, I suppose, because they don't give a fuck about the guy with the 9-inch penis.
Where the pizza boy makes out with the secretary from Twin Peaks.
Yes, I didn't realize it was her straight away, but when she talked for a minute, I was like, oh my god, is that who I think it is? Kimmy Robertson, I think her name is.
So I looked up most of the actors in this movie. They went on to nothing. They, like, acted a lot, but in shows like Law & Order and NYPD Blues.
That's not nothing, man. NYPD Blue? That was big in the 90s.
Yeah, sure it was. But I wonder if all these actors are like, this is our big shot. I'm going to play Fatty, Jocko, and Pizza Boy, and it's going to be straight up from there.
When you saw this movie come out, let's say you were in it, right? And you saw that soundtrack, you'd probably be like, oh man, this is going to be a big hit, kind of a midnight movie type of thing. People are going to see it. They're going to be dancing in the aisles to Devo.
Fucking in the aisles,
yeah, exactly,
and stuff like
people
that.
Yeah, exactly. People are going to find it so erotic. Well, they're going to fuck to a point in the movie, and then they're going to stop. And then they're going to...
They're going to stop. They're going to be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute.
I didn't realize that this could happen. Because the movie takes such an intense right turn that it's kind of bananas.
So Diane Franklin, the girl that Pizza Boy has been lusting after all this time, but has been kind of dating Jocko.
Yeah, she has a very a soft focus kind of sex scene under the bleachers on the football field with Jocko.
While Pizza Boy watches.
While Pizza Boy watches. Because there's a lot of peeping in this movie. He's like watching and crying, and it's like, that is kind of funny. Let's be honest.
So wait, so did you do a lot of peeping in your high school days, Matthew?
No, never.
In what situation could you peep?
Well, I mean, like, in this movie that's been established, you can peep on the girls' locker room through a tiny drilled hole from your locker room.
You can peep on the Cuban lady having sex with your
friend. And then you can peep on your friend again having sex with your, the love of your life under the bleachers because, you know, you have to see it happen, I guess.
So is Pizza Boy a big whiny crybaby
Pizza
in this
Boy
movie?
Is a big whiny crybaby and also a fucking psycho. Do you know what I mean? Like, he knows nothing about this girl. Like, fucking nothing about her other than that she's shagging Jocko. And he's just like, I'm obsessed with you. I have to manufacture a way to meet you. I have to, like...
And later on, Jocko comes to him. He's like, I just had sex with Diane Franklin. And Pizza Boy's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah. He's like, ooh.
No, you didn't.
He's all, like, freaking out about it. And then he continues to basically, like, stalk Diane Franklin for a while till he realizes something that has happened, which is that they have a final look.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter where it is.
And he's like, you're embarrassing me.
And she runs off, and at this point Pizza Boy says to himself, I'm gonna get in there, because earlier in the movie Fatty says to Pizza Boy, hey, don't worry about it, you can get his sloppy seconds, which is probably the most disgusting way to describe to anything ever. And he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get those seconds and they're gonna be sloppy. So he gets out there, she's all crying, and she's like, oh, I'm pregnant. And he goes, oh man, these seconds are too sloppy for me. But I'm going to be a really good guy about it. And rather than, I guess, confront my friend and force him to do something about it, I'm going to be like...
Well, he does confront his friend.
I must have tuned out.
Yeah, he does. And he's like, it's not my problem.
Oh, yeah, because his friend says, she's probably shagging loads of guys. It's not even probably mine. So yeah. What Pizza Boy does was he has to be the good guy and he takes her for the abortion. Because obviously abortions are a hilarious thing to happen in your teen sex comedy.
It seems to give the weight of importance of her getting an abortion and Pizza Boy having to raise that $250 to pay for it.
Yeah, because they go in and basically the woman at the desk is like...
The devil
incarnate. She's like, look, it's going to be $250. Should have thought about it before you were shagging, because not only do I love doing abortions, I also love making money for them.
Yeah, cash in hand.
And the thing is, she actually even performs the abortion without getting the cash, so she's a sucker. Pizza Boy should have come back and been like, psych, we got a free abortion from you.
Yeah, but then she'll be like, I'm sticking that baby right back up.
Yeah, the parts of it.
Yeah. Vacuums go out, vacuums go in.
That is so so disgusting. I apologize to everybody who's been given that visual.
Abortions are not a laughing matter.
I mean, well, nowadays, obviously, obviously, a woman's right to choose and all that. I've been interested in the fact that a lot of people are like, you know, it's so much a woman's choice that it doesn't even have to be. Because, you know, a lot of the rhetoric people do about abortions where they're like, oh, it's such a sad thing to have to happen.
Yeah.
And
I'm really excited where you're going with this, Matthew.
Well, it's like a sad thing to have to happen and no one should have to do it. A lot of people are saying, you see people saying, like, it doesn't even matter if it's like a sad thing that has to happen. It's just so much a woman's right, even if she was, even if she was like, woo, can't wait to get one. She should be able to have one. Because it shouldn't have to be depressed. Something being depressing isn't a requirement for it to be a woman's right. Do you know what I mean? Which I agree with.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, back to the movie. She's all like...
I thought there were so many different ways you could go with that. I was just like, what grave is he going to dig that he's going to jump right into?
I basically did dig myself one anyway, so...
All right, so the pizza boy plays the knight in shining armor, just one of those nice guys. How could she say no to that?
She basically wakes up and she's like... Listen, pizza boy, you've been such a good friend to me. And he turns around and the music swells and he's like, I love you. I've always been in love with you.
And at this point, she's like, whoa, that's fucked up.
Yeah, she's like,
you don't even know me.
Yeah, she's like, with this sort of glazed smile on her face. That's nice. I think they kiss though, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They have
kiss.
Sort of like a very sort of chaste sort of like kiss. And I,
so do you think this is the beginning of a great relationship where, like, me and your mom met when she was fucking my friend. Yeah, he got her pregnant and I paid for the abortion.
And the other thing is, though, is he'd be like, oh, also I have to mention that my friend, I like to watch him have sex. In fact, I watched him have sex with her. Remember that, honey, under the bleachers? That's why we had to have an abortion. But do you think the audiences at the time watching this movie, not with, like, modern eyes, were thinking, oh, that's brilliant, they're finally going to get together?
Maybe, you know, because he's a protagonist, so it feels like our sympathies are supposed to
fall with him. I feel like our sympathy was to fall with him, but he's such a shitty crybaby wank bitch, basically, that it's impossible to care for him.
Yeah, but isn't that just any high schooler, Matthew?
Well, as a muscular, huge penis, never-peeping hunk, no.
Never-peeping hunk? You're going to put that on your dating profile?
It's on my business cards.
Never-peeping.
No, it's never-peeping hunk.
Never peep.
That's actually, you know, it's not even my business cards. That's actually my title at my company. The never people hunk, never peep and hunk, because it rolls off the tongue.
Wait, hunk sounds like a verb of some kind, like geese. I'm hunking it. I never peep, but I hunk. I use my imagination.
Yeah, I hunk so hard. Okay, so our lame, shitty protagonist that is impossible to care for, who should just grow up and, like, fucking get on with his life because he's a fucking, like, stalking psychopath.
And, like, Diane Franklin is about to have her birthday and she's turning 18.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they're not kids either.
Yeah. No, there's the thing about this movie, though. I don't know if you felt this way as well, but I felt like all the characters... The one thing this movie had going for it, all the characters looked really young. They looked like teenagers to me.
Yeah, they did, which is very rare in these kind
which
of
I found kind of disturbing when they started getting their kit off, because I was like, wait, can I look at this? I mean, obviously they're all overage, but...
How would you feel if they, like, you saw, like, male nudity as much as female nudity? I feel there should be a trade-off.
Yeah,
in both.
I feel like this movie would be much funnier if there was a lot more male nudity in it, because definitely the sequence where... Because our characters, they start to strip their clothes off immediately, whenever there's a possibility of sex.
Yeah, when there's, like, a woman in the room, they're like, oh, let's take your clothes off.
Yeah, so, like, that sequence where he, like, strips his clothes off outside the patio because the other girl said she's getting into bed naked, I think that'd be even funnier if he walked in and he was completely naked.
Yep, absolutely.
And, of course, like, the whole sequence where they measured their dicks would be much funnier if it was, like, a sequence where Pizza Boy, like, has one of those, you know those jewelers...
Prosthetic dildos.
One of those jewelers' hand, like... glasses, and he's, like, inspecting penises.
As you would have in an American high school locker
room.
Taking
it back to this movie, what happens is he goes to her birthday and she's all making out with Jocko and kissing him and hugging him, and he sees it happen, and then she's hugging Jocko and she looks at him and she's like, look, what are you going to do? Jocko's got the... she's basically like, Jocko gives me the good dick. So you're a sucker. He starts to cry and drives away crying, and then the movie ends and you're like... I hope he drives that fucking car off that cliff that they drove off once already and just fucking dies, because this guy fucking sucks.
Your heart wasn't wrenched by the ending. This nice guy who politely grabs the girl's shirt and pulls it down past her midriff while she's sleeping. Doesn't he deserve a happy ending?
Yeah, and who also like tries to molest like a fat girl just because she's there.
Yeah.
Basically, this movie is like exactly the type of movie we'd imagine a nice guy, like the way we think of nice guys now, making, where he's like, fucking bitches. Mm-hmm. They won't ever go with like a nice guy who pays for their abortions. They'll go right back to Jocko. It's garbage.
Everybody in this movie's a jerk.
Everyone sucks. I mean, Diane Franklin is obviously a jerk as well. I mean, who isn't a jerk? Kimmy Robertson isn't a jerk. She's like only in it for like two scenes and she just fancies Pizza Boy.
And even Pizza Boy's like, ew, gross.
Yeah, she's pretty cute, isn't it? She's got that kind of a style going on, you know?
So does this make it into the canon canon?
It has to, right?
It has to.
I mean, yep. It's...
Like, is this a movie that, like, when you're a teenager and you watch it, you're like, whoa, can't wait to get into high school and have all these kind of hijinks.
Maybe if you're a particular weird kind of high schooler, I guess, but...
Nope, you were on the straight and narrow. Read your Bible before going to bed, wake up and smack your boner until it goes down.
Hey, what's the Bible?
Yeah, it's called Hunkin'.
It's called Hunkin', yeah. How many ever people hunk?
I feel like my quotient for sexy comedy films that get almost no laughs out of me has been completely squeezed dry.
This movie is definitely, like, watchable. The soundtrack is good.
Yes. Oh, that soundtrack is so
really
good.
You're never really, like, bored, and it's confusing because you're suddenly like, what is this movie now? When it kind of does that right turn. But it's never very good or particularly entertaining, but it's, if you were going to watch all of the movies from canon that were important to what canon is, this is, like, a must. I would say probably, though, it might be worth trying Lemon Popsicle instead, because I wonder how that one feels.
It's probably more pure. But it doesn't have that good a soundtrack.
True. Watch Lemon Popsicle while sticking on a Devo album in the background. Get the best of both worlds.
All right. So what do you have to recommend this week, Matthew? Because we both saw a movie together before Christmas that we wanted to talk about in the podcast, which we never did.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about that.
I'll give my recommendation, which is a little comedy film called Obvious Child, which came out a few years ago, starring the comedian Jenny Slate. That's about a woman that decides she's going to have an abortion.
Okay.
It's a really fun comedy. That's one of those Sundance movies. So it came out and got buried. Mm. And it's very funny. It treats the subject seriously without making it an end of the life kind dramatic event. And it should be seen by more people.
Yeah, I like Jenny Slate. She's been good in all the stuff I've seen her in.
But now let's talk about the movie that I really
want
to talk
about.
Okay,
well, sorry, Jenny. We're not going to give that much attention to your film, but I guess it's getting recommended. Because obviously she's a big listener of Loose Cannons, I assume.
Oh, she loves Loose Cannons. She's like, there's only two things I love in life. Never Peeping Hunks and Loose Cannons.
True. Her and the whole Zootopia cast listen to Loose Cannons. Anyway.
The Zootopia cast? All right,
No. The reason they started listening was because they were advised by the director of Zootopia to watch Animal Olympics. And then they...
I knew you were going to say
And they were like, why should you watch Animal Olympics? And he's like, here's why I should watch Animal Olympics. And then he played them the episode of Loose Cannons where I recommend Animal Olympics.
We still have not gotten a listener that has watched all of Animal Olympics.
Or any of it, right?
So me and Matthew got to see a film theatrically, the way it's meant to be seen. And it was a picture that I had seen previously, so I wasn't that excited to watch it. A little film called Radioactive Dreams, directed by Albert Pyun.
Yes. Did we honestly not talk about this movie before?
We did not talk about
it. Oh, wow. Because this is actually a really great movie to compare to Last American Virgin, I think. Because it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of like a coming-of-age drama. But it's set with these two characters who are called Philip and Marlowe, right?
Yes.
And they were kids who were put into an underground bunker with two criminals who may or may not be their parents.
When the bombs went off.
When the bombs went off. And all they have to read are like Raymond Chandler novels. So they become obsessed with this sort of like 50s style. They escape from the bunker finally and then go on a mad adventure through the post-apocalyptic world. And it is the fucking best. I loved it.
So much fun.
Yeah, and has a great soundtrack as well.
Of bands you've never heard of, but sound like pure 80s.
Yeah, pure 80s. It's constantly exciting. You really love the protagonists. There's a point in the movie where you haven't really been waiting for this to happen, but the protagonist does something that just makes him seem so incredibly fucking cool that you're like, woo! It's probably one of the most pure like 80s teen movies you can imagine, even though it's like set in the past apocalypse and made by Albert Pyun. It's really, really strange and fascinating and amazing.
And it comes in that period of Albert Pyun films where he's just starting to work in the kind of studio system before he got kicked out. So it's like a cheap film, but it's not a super cheap.
I was going to say, it's not cheap looking. You definitely feel a sense of the world. And kind of like, when you hear us talk about it, you might sort of think to yourself, well, is it kind of like ironic and sort of like silly? No,
It's so earnest.
What's beautiful about it is, and I think that's why I love these movies that are kind of like janky in some ways and weird, but they're made with like a totally open heart and like a determination to make something that really means something. Like the movie ends with like a dance party and it's like, doesn't make any sense in this basis of the world, but you're so happy by that point, you don't even care. Ah, it's beautiful.
Radioactive Dreams is so much fun, and it gets my highest recommendation.
Yes, I genuinely think that if there's a movie we watch this week based on our recommendations, it should definitely be that. It's wonderful.
All right, so what are we doing next week, Matthew?
I don't know.
Well, we're jumping back in to some fun stuff. It's a Lou Ferrigno ripoff of Seven Samurais.
That sounds amazing.
But it's directed by Claudio Fargasso, the guy who directed Troll 2 and Bruno Mattei, one of the worst filmmakers to ever exist.
But maybe like in a good way?
It's called The Seven Magnificent Gladiators.
Okay, I'm into it.
And I hope that it's a magnificent viewing experience for both of us.
I hope so too.
All right, my name's Justin LeCoup.
I'm Matthew Kumar.
Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.